Turn to John 14. John 14. Hallelujah. You know, I just keep hearing that it's a time of transition and a time of establishment. It's a time of preparation. And it's a time where God is revealing more and more of why he does what he does. And in this, there is an unveiling. And just like when the Lord did the transfiguration in the mount. And when he did the transfiguration, he revealed to his disciples who he was. And when they realized who he was, because they had said to him, "Who do that men say that I am?" But then they said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter was the only one that got the revelation. Of course, Peter was the only one where Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." You know. But Peter was after God, regardless of what. But I really believe that there's an unveiling now. And in this, the Lord put him in my spirit, because something started yesterday. It's amazing in how things sometimes start in Saturday mornings. But something started yesterday, and he just began to overwhelm me with the area of why he does what he's doing and who we really are. And in this, there is a place where what he does is so that we begin to not only know his ways, but understand his ways and understand the operation and how God moves. You know, everything in the Bible are testimonies into how God has moved in people's lives in one way or another. And what he's actually doing is he is revealing every area, and he's expressing himself of how he is. Not only how he is, but who he is. And in this, he's wanting his children to know how he operates. That's the whole bottom line. He wants us to know how he operates. And when you understand how he operates, things begin to change in your life. In every area. You don't fight and struggle because you have an understanding in how he operates. Every trial and circumstance is a revealing to you as an individual and how God operates. There's an area of understanding his language through circumstances. In everyday life, he so desires that you know how he operates. That's the whole purpose and function. And the reason for that is because you are a race that he has created as his own. We are a race that is created in his own image and likeness. And the more we learn how he operates, the more we become more in his image and likeness. An eternal race, not a part of this place. This place was just training so we become more like him. But we are an eternal race. An eternal race that one day all the heavens, everything that was created will be gone. And the only thing that will be left is the offspring of eternal beings that God has created that will go forward and continue to go forward, where there'll be no limits, none. And so many times we get caught up in all of the stuff that's going on, and we keep trying to fight for our own life and fight for our own perceptions and fight for these things that we believe belong to us. And he's saying, would you just let them go? Let everything go and let me transform you into me as my offspring. An offspring, an eternal offspring that is destined for eternity, where the finite mind can't handle the things that he has prepared for us. And once we shed this place, you'll be able to comprehend. You'll be so like-minded. We'll be one in an arena that we won't be bound by space and time anymore. But we'll be offered into eternal realm. And all the other things that he's preparing to do, because he's a God of love. And he shared with me today, he said, my people need to understand my ways, because they are a new race, not of ethnic backgrounds, not of cultures, not of color, not of language, but of one with Him. One with Him. When we truly begin to understand His ways and comprehend and understand how He operates, and we become more like Him, there is such a place and position of rest. There's such a place and position of trust. There's such a place and position of surrender. The only reason why we struggle and fight is to resist Him. We struggle and fight because we're resisting Him. And John 14, would you go there, please? In verse 1. John 14, in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And I really believe that He is sharing this today because He is coming for us, isn't He? We know that the next feast to be fulfilled is the removal of the body of Christ. So He is coming, and He truly wants us to know why, and why He does what He does, so we can comprehend how He operates. And He said that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to Him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except for through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know Him and have seen Him. Wow. Now you know Him and have what? Seen Him. Now listen, I know that it talks about a place, but Jesus wasn't really referring to the place in the full essence. He wanted them to know that He was going to come back for them, because He wouldn't leave them, right? He was coming back for them. But the place, He was really not speaking specifically about a place, but He was speaking specifically about His way. He said, listen, because they were asking, how do we get there? And Jesus said, man, you don't need to know how to get there. I am the way. In other words, when you know how I operate, when you know the way of the Father, when you know the way of the Son, the operation and how God operates, that's how you'll get there. It's not a direction. There is no map quest to heaven. It's not a place. He was speaking of His way. Go to John 15 and verse 1. Would you read it? He said, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that squeezes, that He may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Now listen, I want to repeat this again in verse 7, because the word words here means way. If you abide in me and my way abides in you. Do you understand that? Because His words are a representation of His way. What? And how He operates. If you know how I operate, you will ask what you desire. Why? Because it won't be your desires anyways. It'll be His. And it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my what? My disciples. Now abide means position. He who abides as He was positioned. And He is positioned with understanding of His way. Does everybody understand that? When you abide in Him, He abides in you. In other words, his ways are understood. His thoughts are comprehended. In other words, because you are now like-minded with the mind of Christ, and so the desires that you now have are his desires. And it's no longer your desires that live, but his desires. Does everybody get it? Go back to John 14 for a minute. In verse 15. What does it say? If you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. Wow. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, the commandments are not for judgment. The commandments are not to condemn us. The commandments and the commands of the Spirit are to teach us the ways of the Lord. So many times, because the things, the way we're expressed, and according to the old covenant, you know, the way we were taught, nobody ever really explained to us in the area that God was just trying to reveal his ways, and he wanted us to know how to operate in his ways and not our own, because we are his offspring. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another what? Is everybody with me? Verse 16. He'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now, how is he going to come to you? In spirit. Does everybody get it? So he was going to leave his helper, wasn't he? In other words, he was going to give you his spirit. He's going to give you his spirit. In other words, his mind, his will, his desires. To give you what? Understanding. To give you understanding and wisdom of his ways. That's why you and I have the Holy Spirit. So that we have an understanding and the wisdom of his ways. Remember, he wants us so desperately to understand in how he operates. Because when you truly understand how he operates, something begins to manifest in your life. And it isn't you. Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And verse 11. In verse 11, read it with me. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he what? In whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds what? Wisdom. And the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gained in fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a what? She is a what? Tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Now, this is powerful. So he says, listen, the reason why you get chastened and you get corrected is so that you begin to relinquish your ways. He's trying to sever us from our ways and our desires in those areas where we struggle with. Like I said, the only reason why you struggle is because you're resisting God. And you may think that you're struggling with a person. You may be thinking you're struggling with a job. You may think you're struggling with a situation. No, you're struggling with God. Does everybody get it? You're struggling with God. Why? Because you're still trying to do it your way. Even what you can interpret from the Bible, people take things out of the Bible and still try to do it their way, according to the Scriptures. But it's not always God's way. See, so when that struggle and that fight comes, it's because you're resisting the Lord. You're resisting the operation of his way, and you're trying to do it your way. That's the only reason why struggles and fights, arguments, circumstances, divorces, children going opposite, all of these things is because you're fighting against God. You're resisting God. And he says, look at, he talks about wisdom and understanding being the tree of life. See, the tree of life reveals the ways of the Lord and his operation of how he operates. Does everybody get it? Go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. In verse 8. Let's read it together. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man who trusts in him. Let me say that again. Blessed is a man who what? So if you don't trust in him, what are you? You're cursed. And if you receive a curse, a curse gives a legal document of demonic forces to access you, and they will come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's why my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They are destroyed for not knowing the operation of the ways of God. You know, if all the humanoids would understand why we're here. Why are you here on this planet? You're not here for a vacation. You're not here by coincidence. You're here because God has sent you into the natural realm so that you can be placed eternally. This earth time right now on this planet is nothing but training. That's all it is. You're in the school of training. Now people get families and all the other stuff that comes along with it, but it's still constant training. Why? Because there's offsprings that come, but that's why the Bible tells us we're to train up our children according to the ways of the Lord. So everything is related to the ways of God and the operation of God because we are eternal beings and we don't belong to this stinky place. Hello? Verse 8 again. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his... Oh, hallelujah. The first revelation that you're going to get when you begin to understand the operation of the ways of God is the fear of God. And I'm not talking about fright or horror. I'm talking about reverence. There is going to be a reverence that's going to establish in you when you begin to understand the ways and the operations of the Lord. That's why many people have been going to church for a gazillion years, keeping that same pew warm, and never have maintained the fear of the Lord, because they've truly never understand the operation of his ways. That will be the first fruit that manifests when you begin to understand the operation of the ways of the Lord is the fear of the Lord. In other words, he will be standing before you for the rest of your life. No matter where you are, no matter what you do, he is right there. And you know that he is there. You know, if all the world would see that, we wouldn't have a bunch of garbage going on, would we? There wouldn't be any murders, would there? There wouldn't be any rapes. There wouldn't be any lying. There wouldn't be any stealing. We put the policemen out of business. The prisons would be feed out places. But that's not what's happening, is it? There is a specific chosen race, a new race, offsprings of eternity that God has birthed for his own special people. And the invitation is to every human being on this planet and everyone that comes into this realm. There's an invitation. He will not force you to be his child. He will not force you to know his ways, but all he desires that you do, and he weeps over those who reject him. Now, verse 9 again, okay? Would you read it with me? Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Why is there no want to those who fear him? Because they understand the operation of his ways, and there isn't a want. They know that he's going to make the way no matter what. They know that no matter what circumstance, trial, trouble, affliction, whatever is going on in their life, that he's going to make the way because you understand the operations of his way. That's all he's asking for you to do is cooperate with his way. And everything will fall into place. That's why there is no want. In other words, want is a representation of anxious. Being anxious for something. Being anxious for something. That's why the bars are filled. Spirits of anxiousness. That's why people drink. Anxiousness. They're always looking for peace in a bottle. Peace in a straw. Peace in a head. Peace in the bed. There's only one peace. And that's the Prince of Peace. And it only can be manifested when you begin to learn and understand the operations of his ways. Then there's no want. When the want comes, you reject it. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm not going there. Why? Because it's promoting anxiousness. It's promoting fear. And it's moving you out of position. Because, see, you want to stay in that abiding place, which is a position. It's the position where it's no longer you that live, but him that lives. Why? Because you're his offspring. And he wants you to be just like him. In verse 10, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. He says, come, you children, and listen to me. And I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil. And your lips and speak in stupidity. I mean deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil or who reject him. To cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. So, we see again here that the fear of the Lord is the first fruit of those who begin to understand the operation of the way of the Lord. Go to Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah 7. You know, so many times the devil, you know, not only do we need to know the operation of the Lord, but we need to know the operation of the devil. So many people don't realize how the devil operates. Now you got to remember that everything that's going on in your life right now, the devil's always there trying to say to you, God doesn't love you. He brings stuff up and says, you know, if he really loved you, he would do this. He would do that. And that what he's trying to steal from you is the ways of the Lord. He's trying to share with you in how he operates and steal in how God operates. And then that's where the fight begins. Why? Because you begin to reject the way of the Lord. There's like a tug of war going on sometimes, where the devil's trying to steal the things of God from you. But see, that's why you have the sword of the Spirit, and you can bind. So you can just cut it and take that rope and wrap it around his own neck and just hang him from a tree. Hello. See, this is where he begins to bring confusion, because people are trying to calculate. He begins to activate the carnal mind in calculation. But the carnal mind cannot comprehend the things of God. It will never comprehend the things of God. That's why we must have the mind of the Spirit. And Jeremiah 7 and verse 5, would you read it with me? He says this, if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place or walk after other gods in your hurt, then I will what? Cause you to dwell in this place and the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. So what is he saying? He's saying, man, you're rejecting my ways and how I operate. He said, you must come to a place where you're thoroughly willing to surrender and sever the things that you've been taught according to the ways of the world, that you may understand and comprehend with wisdom and how I operate. Because my operation and my ways are not according to the ways of this world. Jesus is eternal. and so are you. So you must begin to learn and operate in the eternal arena and not in the natural arena. That's what comes supernatural. Ezekiel 18. And I really believe the emphasis today is the area where his whole purpose and function for me and you is to learn how he operates. Everything that's going on in your life is just, it's got nothing to do with that he doesn't love you. It's got everything to do that he loves you. He loves us unconditionally to where he created us and willing to share this eternal God who was, is, and forever will be, which you and I can't comprehend in this arena, has chosen to create me and you to share his ways. Think about that. To share his ways and his operations of who he is, that we may exist with him forever and operate according to his ways. That's enough to make me want to go home. In Ezekiel 18, in verse 29, yet the house of Israel says the way of the Lord is not fair. You know, think about how many people, the way of the Lord is not fair. Just you know, life just isn't fair. Praise God. Don't worry about this life. Come out of it. Die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, is not my ways which are fair and your ways which are not fair? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord. Repent and turn from all of your transgressions so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed and get yourself a what? A new heart. There's a new heart for you. It's called the heart of Christ. And a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. No, what is he saying, man? Get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. Get rid of the old heart and the old spirit. And many times we begin to pick up the old stuff. And he's saying, turn around and get rid of it. Thoroughly remove it. Sever it. When you begin to pick it up again, remember my ways. How are you going to remember it? By the Holy Spirit. He's going to bring things to remembrance. He's going to always bring things to your remembrance. He's your teacher. He's your nanny. He's your mentor. He's there. He is the eternal being, the eternal spirit that dwells within you to keep you eternal. He is the promise keeper. And that's all we need to do is cooperate. He is there to train you in how the ways of the Lord operate. Go to Ezekiel 36. So if you've been chasing lately, if you've been struggling lately, if you've been an idiot lately, you know why. You're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're fighting against the powers of darkness, and in so doing that, you're rejecting the way of God. How are you hearing? In Ezekiel 36, 23, we have a wonderful saying here, learn or burn, man. We're going to have t-shirts here next week that say learn or burn. It's a good word, for a now word. In verse 23, would you read it? And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God. When I am what? Hallowed or reverenced or feared in you before their eyes. Now, what's the first fruit of understanding the operation of the ways of God? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. See, people are still doing things their way and even know the ways of God. And because they didn't hear from God, now God isn't going to always tell you. He's going to expect you. Your relationship with the Lord is not an, okay, Lord, tell me and then I'll do. No. There are areas where he's expecting you to do after you've learned them. And verse 24. And I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. And there I'll sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you. He's going to cause you by conviction. He's going to cause you by circumstance. He's going to cause you by trial. He's even going to cause you by affliction. Does everybody get it? I'm going to cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. In other words, I'm going to cause you to know my ways. And sometimes it feels like you've been dragged through the pricker bushes. No matter what you do isn't going right. Until you finally give up. And that's when he says, I think God says hallelujah. I think it's the only thing that causes God to say hallelujah is when we finally give up. And we finally give up and we say, okay, I can't do it anymore. How do you want me to do it? He's going, about time. You know, and then we wonder, well, why? How come I'll listen to this part, but I won't listen to that part? Because you haven't come to the end of yourself in that part yet. You truly haven't relinquished yourself from that part. Well, it's amazing. I'm willing to surrender this. But why aren't I willing to surrender that? That's a good question. Why don't you answer that yourself? So we can hear another hallelujah from heaven. Glory! Now look at it. Watch this. In verse 27, and I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people and I'll be your God. When? When you know how he operates. It's victory. And I will deliver you from all of your uncleanliness. And I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields so that you need never again be the reproach of famine among the nations. In other words, you will never have another spiritual famine. You'll never have another spiritual famine. Oh, glory. I hate spiritual famines. Why? Because he's come to bring life and life more abundant, all right? Now look at, doesn't he say work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? Well, what are you working out? You're working out with fear and trembling. What's the fear? The fear is the reverence, so that you may know his ways of operation. Remember, he chastens those he loves. Quit running from his chastening and run to him. Because he's trying to show you something to cut loose of. Deuteronomy 8. You know, the devil's got so many people convinced that God doesn't like them. You know, there are people who are saying, I ain't going to be a believer. Are you kidding me? God will kill me. Well, you have a point there. But he's going to do it gently. And it'll be for your own good. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Is everybody there in verse 6? Therefore you shall what? Keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways or his operations and what? Fear him or reverence him. Do you see that? The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates and manavi. A land of olive oil and honey. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. In which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. So he's talking about riches. This is a place in the spirit where we are truly rich in the spirit. Rich. See, where there is not a want of the riches of the world, they'll come to you. But there's a want of the riches and the knowledge and understanding of the ways of God. Such ways. Is everybody okay? Go to Psalm 103. So y'all need to rebuke the devil and what he's been telling you. God's not holding anything back. He's just trying to help you die. Psalm 103 and verse 7. Look at this. This is powerful. He made known his ways to who? Moses. Moses understood the ways and operations of the Lord. In fact, even the Lord. No, don't get goofy on me. The Lord took counsel from Moses. When the Lord wanted to kill everybody, Israelites, Moses interceded and went into the gap and begged him. He said, please, now what about your name? Come on, come on, Lord. Don't. Why? Because he used to talk to Moses face to face. God revealed the ways and how he operated with Moses to where he actually took counsel from Moses. God Almighty. I mean, like he really took counsel, you know what I'm saying? He didn't need no counsel from Moses. But because he wanted to share with Moses and gave him the opportunity to speak and give God, his creator, his master, because they were like-minded and like-hearted, Moses knew the operation and the ways of God to where he convinced the Lord not to kill the Israelites. Think about that. But the Bible says he was the most humble man on the earth. Now Jesus, now look at this. Jesus came as a servant, didn't he? So that his ways were being shown to us. So that we become his servants. He became not only as a servant, but a steward. He was a steward of the things of God. He was a servant to the people of God. He was a prophet proclaiming the gospel and the truth of God and the ways of God. And he did not live a life of himself. He lived a life of truth. And that's the ways that we should live. Then he ascended and became a high priest. Well, you and I have a priesthood now. And he's going to return as a king and a warrior, just like us. Because we're his offspring. He is an example of a race he is creating in his own image and likeness to extend his kingdom in an infinite realm. I want to repeat that. He is the example of a race he is creating in his image and likeness to extend his kingdom in an infinite realm. If we can really grasp today that we are an eternal race, that this is not our home, this is just training ground, and the things we struggle with is just because we're rejecting the operation of the ways of God. If we can truly grasp that today, your life will change. And the fear of God, the reverence of God will increase in your life like it never has before. In Romans 8, Romans chapter 8. And then one more scripture. So when you hear hallelujah in heaven, you'll know what it means now. It means you finally surrendered something. And verse 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time, hallelujah, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Where? In us. Why? Because you don't belong here. You're an eternal being. You're an offspring of the creator of an infinite realm, a brand new race. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Even all of God's creation is waiting for you. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. All of God's creation will be delivered into our hands. So you better know what to do with it. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance or endurance. Does everybody get it? Creation waits for the offsprings of its creator. Think about it. We are the offsprings of the creator. And all of his creation is waiting for his offsprings to come about. That's you and me. And I want to close at 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's just for you. An eternal race. Yes. Special forces. We're special forces. Amen. Holy Ghost seals. Because we're sealed by the Holy Ghost. So you're Holy Ghost seals. Don't go around going, or. That's natural. That's carnal. God is raising up a special task force to know how to make Holy Ghost grenades, infiltrate the kingdom of darkness and set traps for them and rescue God's people. By knowing the truth and how to fight, by knowing how to tear down territories, principalities, to cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, to speak to their father and get revelation, knowledge of what to do next and know how his operation is. Every operation that he has and every mission that's involved in your life, every day there is a mission for you to do and accomplish every single day. See, you sleep during the night to regenerate. Everything is imparted in you. When you wake up the next morning, you're to cooperate with the Spirit of the living God to find out what your task is that day. It could be to sit in a class and learn. It could be go to work and be prepared for something or someone that's coming across your path. There is a mission every single day of your life that is directed by the Lord if you're willing to cooperate with him. The reason why you struggle is because you rejected him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the what? Mind of Christ. We have the eternal mind. Do y'all get that? Within you dwells all revelation and knowledge that ever was, is, and going to be. And whatever he chooses to release to you are his ways of operation to assist you in that period of time to fulfill the mission for each day. We do not belong here. We've got to come to the understanding, truly the understanding. That's why he says, get understanding, get wisdom. It is the tree of life to you. Why? Because when you understand his ways, then he begins to direct you in how to use his ways. We are offsprings of the eternal creator, not belonging in this realm, but passing through of an infinite realm in preparation. I pray today that everybody begins to comprehend this and get understanding. That whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're going through right now, it's just because you're rejecting and resisting the operation of his way. Amen? Are you all right? Start acting like eternal beings. Stop acting like the temporary realm. The Bible says, pray in the Spirit and build your faith up. Building your faith up allows you to walk more in the operations of the way of God. You will lack nothing. The only reason why we lack is because we have a desire that's not of God. There's a place where there is no lack, but there is a place of the riches of the eternal presence and the Spirit, the riches of the King, which are available to you, and all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that brings you a place of peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, that nothing matters except for doing his will. And the only way you can do his will is by knowing how he operates. Other than that, we struggle. That's why there's Bible studies. That's why there's fellowships. That's why there's all of these things. But you must participate. You must cooperate with what God is doing so you can come to the end of yourself and relinquish, throw away, get rid of all of the things that you used to comprehend according to the ways of the world. Because you're of a new race, an eternal race, an offspring of creation, where all creation is waiting for the Creator's offsprings. Be blessed today, and let the seed grow and bear fruit for your glory, that you may know who you are and his ways, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah!